بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم نحمد ونصلي على رسوله الكريم. From the kitab we are reading concerning our aqaid and beliefs, the topic we're doing today is tasawwuf. Tasawwuf or tazkiyah refers to internal purification and attainment of internal purity from filth and dirt. In order to become a perfect Muslim, it is necessary to reform one's internal actions, just as it is necessary to correct one's beliefs and external actions. The awliya, who are the friends of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, by means of their illuminated hearts, understood the manner of beautifying their internal in accordance with the teachings of the Quran and Hadith. There are many ways and methods of tasawwuf. Four chains are famous. They are Naqshbandiya, the Chishtiya, Qadiriya, and Suharwardiya. The object of all four is to attain the happiness of Allah Ta'ala and closeness to Him via the means of one Shaykh or guide. Whichever Shaykh one has a greater reliance on, he should follow. It is, however, not correct to speak ill of the others. One will follow a Shaykh as long as his words are not contrary to the teachings of Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. If he has erred, then one should not follow them in their error. Mashayikh of all the four chains were present in all the eras, in all eras, and are still present. A person should pledge allegiance to any Shaykh of the chain with which he has some compatibility. This is called bay'at-e-tariqat. It is proven in the ahadith. One should choose such a Shaykh who is a true friend of Allah. He follows the sunnah and practices on the sharia. The objective of bay'at is to purify one's inside and outside by following one Shaykh's teachings. For this reason, a person should not merely suffice on merely pledging allegiance, but he should be concerned about attaining the objective. He should be engaged at all times in reforming his external and internal by means of the guidance of the Shaykh. The next topic we are doing is Iman. When we say we have to bring Iman, what is meant by Iman? And in contrast to that, inshallah, tomorrow we'll do the topic of Kufr. Iman will only be regarded as correct when a person understands and accepts that all that which has come to us from Allah Ta'ala and Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. To doubt, to belie and find false, or to mock at any of their teachings will cause one to lose his Iman. All those things which are indisputably proven from Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam are called the necessary parts of deen, which technically are called zaruriyate deen. If any of these aspects are rejected, one will leave the fold of Islam, for example, to believe in the oneness and qualities of Allah Ta'ala, to believe in the angels, the heavenly scriptures, the messengers, qiyamah, taqdeer, life after death, to hold the view that salat, fasting, hajj, zakat, and jihad are parts of Islam and are obligatory, and to hold the view that interest, adultery, lies, etc. are forbidden. Iman is verification of the heart. In order to execute Islamic law, it is necessary to testify to it with the tongue. If a person verifies with his heart, but not verbally, then he will not be regarded as a Muslim. The basis of Iman and Kufr is upon a person's end. Last night, alhamdulillah, in the Taraweeh, the 21st para was recited. The first three rukus of the 21st para are the concluding sections of Suratul Ankabut, which was at the end of the 20th para. Previously, it was mentioned the subject matter from the beginning of the surah was concerning the various incidents of the Anbiya alayhimus salatu wassalam and how their respective nations, when they remain obstinate on their disbelief and on their rebellion and transgression, how the Allah Ta'ala's wrath befell them, and Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was also consoled that your people who are refusing to accept the message of Haqq despite clear proofs. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was consoled in that regard that you don't have to now fall into so much distress and grief over this. The first verses of the 21st para are also in regard to that, where Allah Ta'ala tells Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Utlu ma uhiya ilayka min al-kitab wa aqimis salah." That recite from the kitab which has been revealed to you and establish and perfect salat. Although Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has been addressed, but the message is for all the people that these two things be very particular about. That is the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed and the perfection of our salat, that the salat must be performed in an upright and correct manner. The ulama explain that these two things, although very brief, but they are very comprehensive and extremely effective when it comes to the islah, the spiritual rectification of a person, and also very effective in spiritual upliftment of a person, and it will bring a person very close, quickly close to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, will grant him proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this will be dependent on this, that we, the recitation of the Qur'an Majeed and the perfection of our salat is according to how it's supposed to be. That is why the next verse, Allah Ta'ala immediately mentions after that, that the peculiar effect of salat is that tanha anil fahsha'i wal munkar, that it stops a person from shamelessness and evil. In other words, the effect of salat, and this will be conditional to performing salat with all its requisites and etiquettes, with full concentration, with sincerity and humility. And this, the effect of that will be that evil and shamelessness will leave a person. It will stop a person from all types of evil and shamelessness. A person, if he is performing salat, but these evils are still in his life, it is an indication and reflection that there is a flaw in his salat, that the salat is still not correct. If salat is performed as it's supposed to be performed, then definitely this will be the effect, that a person will stop, it will stop a person from all types of evil. Once someone complained to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person is regular with his tahajjud, but in the day he is involved in the evil of stealing. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam mentioned and replied that his salat will soon stop him from this evil. So this will be the effect of performing salat if a person performs it properly. Thereafter Allah Ta'ala says, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar," that the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. The dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and salat itself is also for the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, as mentioned elsewhere, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ, that established salat for my remembrance. So the remembrance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the greatest. Dhikr of Allah ta'ala is the lifeblood of this universe. And as long as dhikr of Allah ta'ala is taking place, there are people who are taking the name of Allah ta'ala, the system of this whole universe will continue and qiyamah won't occur. But once dhikr ceases, that is when qiyamah will occur. in another verse of the Quran al-Majid, Allah ta'ala says, "Fadhkuruni adhkurkum," remember me and I will remember you. So, when a person is engaged in the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Allah ta'ala says that I remember him. And what can be greater than Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala remembering us? So, and in the ahadith also we come to know that the most virtuous and greatest form of ibadat is the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So, that is why Allah ta'ala says, "Wala dhikrullahi akbar." May Allah ta'ala keep our tongues always moist with the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on in the first ruku, Allah ta'ala mentions a verse where there is a clear proof of the nabuwat of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Allah ta'ala says, وَمَا كُنْتَ تَتْلُو مِنْ قَبْلِهِ مِنْ كِتَابٍ وَلَا تَخُطُّهُ بِيَمِينِكَ إِذَا لَرْتَابَ الْمُبْتِلُونَ. That, O Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, prior to the Quran Majeed, before this Quran Majeed being revealed to you, you were unable to read any book, nor could you write with your hands. Otherwise, in other words, if you were not unlettered, but you were proficient in writing and reading, then these people of falsehood would have been cast into doubt, they would have an opportunity to doubt that perhaps you yourself has authored this Kitab, the Quran Majid, and attributed it falsely, na'udhu billah, to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But since you are unlettered, you are unlettered, and from birth you are between you are living amongst the people of Makkatul Mukarramah. Everybody knew you to be unlettered and without having formal education, without having a tutor, and yet suddenly after Nabuwat you are presenting these verses of the Quran Majid and saying it is the wahi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is now no room for any person to doubt whatsoever, because these verses of the Quran Majid are such that no man can match them, despite being so many challenges given in the Quran and Majid to provide a match to the Quran and Majid, and despite you being so eloquent in the Arabic language yourself, but you could not do so. So this is ample and clear proof that whatever verses are being recited to you are the words of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala himself, and it is also a clear proof that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is the Nabi of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions the verse, Ya ibadiya alladhina amanu inna ardi wasi'ah fa iyaya fa'abudun, that those people who are persecuted and oppressed in their homelands and are stopped from practicing on the injunctions of deen and are being forced to go into disobedience and disbelief, Allah Ta'ala says that the way out is to make hijrat. That my earth is very vast. If you can't do so in your homeland, then make hijrat and go to other places where you will not be suffering that persecution and oppression, and you won't be forced to do actions of disbelief and sin. Allah Ta'ala then says that kullu nafsin dha'iqatul maut, that normally when the occasion arises where a person now is forced to make hijrat and leave his homeland, normally he has two apprehensions. One is concerning death. What will happen to me? I'm going to a foreign land. If I die, what is going to happen? Allah Ta'ala says every soul is going to taste of death. Nobody can escape death, and death can come at any time. So this will not be an excuse if death overtakes you and you did not make hijrat, although you could have if you wanted to, but that will not be an excuse in the court of Allah Ta'ala that death came to me. That's why now I could not do what I was fulfill the injunctions of deen. Allah Ta'ala says, no, death is inevitable, and there should not be an impediment, an obstacle for you to make hijrat. The other apprehension is concerning sustenance and rosy. Normally a person, where he is residing, the outward means and provisions for sustenance are there in the form of employment, of farming, of trade, business, shop, whatever. But when making hijrat, he has to leave all these things behind. And then the fear comes that how am I going to survive? I won't have any form of income. Allah Ta'ala says in response to that, وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ دَابَّةٍ لَا تَحْمِلُ رِزْقَهَا, that so many creatures living on the surface of the earth, they don't carry with them their sustenance. It is Allah who provides for them, and Allah will provide for you also. So this should also not be an obstacle if the need arises to make hijrat, that how am I going to live and sustain myself? Remember, place your trust on Allah Ta'ala, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has taken the responsibility of sustenance of each living creature, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will see to your sustenance also. Further on, the ayat, وَمَا هَذِهِ الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا لَهُ وَلَعِبٌ. So many places in the Quran and Majid, this type of verse have been mentioned, where we are reminded that this worldly life is just amusement and play. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ, that the life of the hereafter, that is the actual life. So therefore the demand of intelligence is that which is everlasting and which is the actual life, a person should aspire and strive in that direction and not involve himself with the pleasures of this dunya and make it his objective. The things of the dunya Allah has provided so that we live in this dunya, but these should not be the objectives of living in this dunya. Further on, Allah Ta'ala explains the great ingratitude of the people of kufr and shirk, that these people at the time of adversity, then they forget all their idols and gods and they only call to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah ta'ala gives the example here when they are in a ship, and the ship, conditions of fear overcome them. Then people forget everything else and call out sincerely only to Allah ta'ala. But Allah ta'ala says that when we rescue them and bring them safely back onto land, إِذَا هُمْ يُشْرِكُونَ, they go back to their old ways of shirk and kufr, and then they show ingratitude for the favors which we have granted them. Allah ta'ala says that enjoy yourself, because whatever you will be doing in this world is only temporary. فَسَوْفَ يَعْلَمُونَ, very shortly you will know the reality. The last verse of the surah, Allah ta'ala mentions, وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا, that those who strive for our sake, for the sake of our deen, then Allah ta'ala says, we will guide them to our paths, we will open the doors of hidayat and ma'rifat and goodness for them, but on condition that they strive. Those things which are hurdles and obstacles in the path of deen are three. One is the nafs, the second is shaitan, and the third are the enemies of deen. So here, jihad has been mentioned in a general sense, that that person now who strives and he overcomes all these hurdles, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says they will open the doors of hidayat. Abu Darda radiallahu anhu, in the explanation of this verse, has given even a more general meaning, that those who strive to acquire the knowledge of deen, Allah ta'ala will open up such knowledge to them, which they did not have before. The next surah is Surah Ar-Rum. It is a Makki surah, and this will apply for the next two surahs also, that is Surah Luqman and Surah Sajda, are all Makki surahs. And as mentioned so many times, the fundamentals of deen are generally discussed in the surahs, which are called the Makki surahs, which were revealed before the Hijrah. In the first verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions the great prophecy and indication of the miraculous nature of the Qur'an-i Majeed. One of the reasons, or one of the signs that the Qur'an-i Majeed is a great miracle, is that the Qur'an-i Majeed has mentioned many prophecies, what we call prophecies, but actually things which the Qur'an-i Majeed had foretold and predicted, which will happen, and it happened exactly like that. The incident mentioned and referred to in the first few verses refers to the Romans and the Persians, who were the great powers of their time. The Romans were Christians and the Persians were polytheists. They were fire worshippers and idol worshippers. And the Persians had defeated the Romans very decisively, in such a way that there was now no hope of the Romans ever now getting back their strength and power, and ever in future trying to defeat the Persians. So on this, the people of Makkah, the polytheists and mushrikeen of Makkah, they started rejoicing and were happy. Why? Because they were also polytheists. And in this battle between the Romans and the Persians, the polytheists, mushrikeen of Makkah, they sided and they supported the Persians. So when they defeated the Romans very decisively, they became very happy, and at the same time they started mocking and taunting the Muslims in Makkatul Mukarramah, that see what happened, how the Persians have overcome the Romans. Very soon your end will be the same, and you will be completely annihilated. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed this verse, in which Allah ta'ala mentions that the Romans have been defeated, but in a few years' time, after that defeat, they will then be victorious again. It was unimaginable. How could this happen in a few years? The word bid'un in the Arabic language is used to indicate a number between 3 and 9. So in other words, the Qur'an-i Majeed gave that prediction that within 9 years, this will happen, where the tables will be completely overturned, and now the Romans will once again defeat the Persians. And this is exactly what happened. Within 7 years of the revelation of these verses, the Romans then defeated the Persians. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions further on that those people who are far from deen, whose objective is only the dunya, Allah ta'ala says they have knowledge, superficial knowledge of the worldly life. يَعْلَمُونَ ظَاهِرًا مِنَ الْحَيَاةِ الدُّنْيَا. But when it comes to the akhirat and the year after, they are in complete negligence and they are completely unaware. So that knowledge is called true knowledge, through which a person gets the recognition of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and takes a person and prepares a person for the year after. Otherwise, other knowledge, Allah Ta'ala has classified it as zahiran min al-hayati dunya. It's just superficial knowledge. That is not real true knowledge. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then mentions that why don't you ponder in the creations of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala and in your own self also, and you will see the great qudrat of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, in which the qudrat and also the tawheed of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is proven. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, from the third ruku of the surah, Allah Ta'ala mentions his great signs of his creations. And if a person reflects and ponders over this, he will realize the great power of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, and also that Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala is one. Prior to that, in the second ruku of the surah, the last three verses of the surah, فَسُبْحَانَ اللَّهِ حِينَ تُمْسُونَ وَحِينَ تُصْبِحُونَ, that glorify Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala when you are in the evening and in the morning, and also and all praises for Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala in the all praise in the skies and the earth belong to Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala alone, and also glorify and praise Allah Ta'ala in the late afternoon. And also in the afternoon. Here, reference is made particularly to the salat times. Hina tumsoon, evening, the maghrib and isha salat. Hina tusbihun, fajr salat. Ashiyan, asr salat. And hina tudhirun, dhuhr salat is referred to. So these two verses and the verse after that, which are the verses number 17, 18 and 19. According to the riwayat and narration of Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhu, it has been mentioned that the person who recites these morning and evening, all of the deficiencies and shortcomings of his ibadat which had occurred, inshallah it will be now, that shortcoming and deficiency will be now, it will be recompensated, and that shortcoming will now be fulfilled. So we should make an attempt to read these verses morning and evening. So the shortcomings of the night and day, they will be then recompensated. Then Allah Ta'ala makes mention of these various signs where the creation of insan has been mentioned, and also how Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala has made a variation in the languages and the colors of human beings, despite being all from one father and mother, Adam and Hawa alayhimu salam. But how so much varieties there are of languages and colors. And also the other great qudrats of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, the system of the rains, the winds, everything. All this Allah Ta'ala mentions, these are all from our ayat, our great signs. And man is invited to ponder over all these great signs of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Further on, Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then mentions the verse, Zahara al-fasadu fil barri wal bahri bima kasabat aydin nas, that these conditions of adversity, of difficulty, of calamities, all these which occur in the land and the sea, is bima kasabat aydin nas, it is because of the evil actions of man, liyudhiqahum ba'd alladhi amilu, so that Allah Ta'ala makes man taste the consequences of some of the actions. Allah Ta'ala says, just some of our actions, Allah Ta'ala wants to make us taste the consequences of that. That's why we see conditions of difficulty and calamities all around us. If Allah Ta'ala had to take us to task for all our actions, all our evil actions, there would have been a single soul remaining without being destroyed by the punishment of Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala. Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala then towards the end of the surah again mentions the condition of man, that don't forget that your humble beginnings, Allahu alladhi khalaqakum min du'fin, Allah Ta'ala created you in a very weak state. Your initial creation was just from a drop of fluid, hardly so insignificant, and then when you were born, you were just a child, an infant. You are in need of others for you are dependent on others for your survival. But Allah Subhanahu wa Ta'ala, after this condition of weakness, Allah Ta'ala then made you strong and strong. A person grows up, he becomes young and strong. But Allah Ta'ala then reminds that after that condition of strength, Allah Ta'ala again puts that condition of weakness and old age to come to you. And now, many a time, a person then becomes in the same condition which was his initial condition as an infant, where he is completely dependent on others. Allah Ta'ala says, يَخْلُقُ مَا يَشَاءَ. Allah Ta'ala creates as He pleases. So all this are signs that this life in this world is temporary, and eventually we have to die and go back to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and account for all our actions. Further on, the next surah is Surah Luqman, also a Makki surah. Besides the fundamentals of deen, particularly the surah, there is mention of the advices of Luqman alayhi salam, which he gave to his son. Concerning Luqman alayhi salam, most of the ulama of the opinion that he was not a Nabi. He was a very pious person. Allah Ta'ala granted him great wisdom. He was the nephew of Ayyub alayhi salam. Allah Ta'ala granted him a very lengthy life, and he lived right up till the time of Dawood alayhi salatu wasalam also. These advices of which he gave to his son are mentioned here, and obviously the reason is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is informing us that these are the qualities which a person should imbibe within himself. The advices of Luqman alayhi salam mentioned here in many verses are very comprehensive, because they cover all aspects of deen, starting from beliefs, where he told his son, never ascribe partners to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Then concerning being kind to one's parents, how she carries the child in her womb in a condition of great weakness, and then after giving birth she has to go under the difficulty of breastfeeding the child for 2 years. All these things indicate how important it is that we are kind, we show gratitude to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also for that, and to our parents, and we are kind to our parents. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala mentions concerning the year after that even if it is a minutest action which a person might have did, but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring it forth on the day of Qiyamah, and a person will have to answer for that. The advice of performing salat and enjoining the good and prohibiting from the evil, and to persevere at the time of adversity, these advices also have been mentioned here. And further on, he tells his son that don't turn your face away from people out of pride, and don't walk on the surface of the earth with arrogance, because Allah Ta'ala doesn't like those who are arrogant and boastful. And the next nasihat is waqsid fi mashika, moderate your walk. When you walk, make sure that in your walk there is moderation, there is coolness, there is calmness, and also there is modesty in your walk. And waqbud min sawtik, and lower your voice. When you speak to people, make sure you speak in a gentle way. Don't scream at people. Allah Ta'ala gives the example, the worst of sounds is the sounds of a donkey. The person who is now, when he speaks, he is not gentle in his speech. His sound is like that of a donkey. Further on, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala then mentions again many of the signs of his great qudrat throughout the surah, and at the end of the surah Allah Ta'ala mentions those things, the knowledge of which is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. In the hadith, these have been called mafatihul ghayb. These are the knowledge, and the keys of that is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. One is the knowledge of qiyamah. The second is concerning rain, when and how much rain will fall, only Allah Ta'ala knows. And third one, Allah Ta'ala only knows what is in the wombs of the mothers. Today's machines, scans, etc., the maximum they can show is maybe the gender of the child, but nothing further than that. Allah Ta'ala knows everything concerning the child in the wombs of the mothers, that what will be his qualities, how long he will live for, how much of sustenance he will get, whether he is destined to go into Jannat and Jahannam eventually. All these things no machine can ever pick up. The fourth point here is only Allah Ta'ala knows what everybody will earn tomorrow. And fifth one, where each person will die, that knowledge is only by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, Surah Sajda also, the same subject matter. Allah Ta'ala mentions many of his great creations, and also that man is of two types, either mu'min or kafir, and the end result of each one is mentioned. The qualities of those who are the true mu'mineen, Allah Ta'ala mentions that those that have firm conviction in our ayat, when they are recited to them and when they are reminded of them, they fall in prostration, they bow in front of it, and they glorify and praise Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and they are not arrogant. And one particular quality mentioned after that their sides remain separated from their beds. In other words, they spend much of their time not sleeping, but standing and worship in the worship of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And also the next quality, مِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ. Therefore, what Allah ta'ala had granted them, they spend in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The next surah, the last surah, is Suratul Ahzab. It is a Madani surah. Therefore, many laws of Shariat and social etiquettes have been mentioned here. Quite a bit of them have been mentioned in the next para as the surah continues into the 22nd para also. Besides that, Allah Ta'ala makes mention of the battle of Ahzab, which is known as the battle of Khandaq and the battle of the trench also. The circumstances with which the Muslims were faced in that battle, where the Kuffar had formed a coalition to try and wipe out the Muslims once and for all. This was in the 50 of Hijri. So great difficult conditions Muslims were faced with. Allah Ta'ala describes that the hearts had reached the throats of the people, and they started even having thoughts about Allah Ta'ala, that why is it that Allah Ta'ala's assistance is not coming? And Allah Ta'ala says, we tested the mu'mineen at that time. وَزُلْزِلُوا زِلْزَالًا شَدِيدًا. And they were greatly shaken. So difficult were the conditions. From the incident in the ahadith mentioned, so many namazes of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in the Sahaba also became qada. They didn't even have time to perform salat because of the great danger which they were faced with at all times. The trench was dug to protect the people of Medina from the invasion of these kuffar. And for 1 month, the kuffar laid siege over Madinatul Munawwara. And then Allah Ta'ala's assistance came. And Allah Ta'ala sent a very heavy wind, with the result that all their tents and also fell down. And they themselves started now quarreling among themselves. And they left without any success. And this is how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala assisted the Muslimin. Some injunctions which are mentioned here, inshallah, tomorrow when we're doing the rest of the surah, we will discuss them, inshallah.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. عن عمر رضي الله عنه أن النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم بعث قبل نجد فغنموا غنائم كثيرة وأسرعوا الرجعة. فقال رجل ممن لم يخرج: ما رأينا بعثا أسرع رجعة ولا أفضل غنيمة من هذا البعث. فقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: ألا أدلكم على قوم أفضل غنيمة وأسرع رجعة؟ قوم شهدوا صلاة الصبح ثم جلسوا في مجالسهم يذكرون الله حتى طلعت الشمس، فأولئك أسرع رجعة وأفضل غنيمة. عمر رضی اللہ عنہ سے مروی ہے کہ نبی کریم صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے نجد کی طرف ایک مرتبہ جہاد کے لیے لشکر بھیجا، جو بہت ہی جلد واپس لوٹ آیا اور ساتھ ہی بہت سارا مال غنیمت لے کر آیا. لوگوں کو بڑا تعجب ہوا کہ اتنی ذرا سی مدت میں ایسی بڑا کامیابی اور مال و دولت کے ساتھ واپس آ گیا. حضور صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم نے فرمایا کہ میں نے تمہیں اس سے بھی کم وقت میں اس مال سے بہت زیادہ غنیمت اور دولت لانے والی جماعت بتاؤں. یہ وہ لوگ ہیں جو صبح کی نماز میں شریک ہے، پھر اسی جگہ بیٹھے ذکر میں مشغول رہے حتیٰ کہ آفتاب طلوع ہو جائے، تو یہ لوگ بہت تھوڑے سے وقت میں بہت زیادہ دولت کمانے والے ہیں. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. The group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with the group said, "We have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group." Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Should I not show you such people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? It is those people who are present for Fajr Salah and thereafter remain in their places, making the dhikr of Allah Jalla Jalaluhu until sun rises. These people attain much more wealth in a much shorter time." Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu narrates that once Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sent an expedition towards Najd. The group acquired a great amount of booty and returned very quickly. A man who had not gone with them, with the group, said, We have never seen a group which has returned so quickly with so much booty like this group. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, should I not show you such people who attain much more wealth in a much shorter space of time? It is those people who are present for Fajr Salah and thereafter remain in their places, making the dhikr of Allah jalla jalaluhu until sunrise. These people attain much more wealth, reward in a much shorter time.